The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello. Oh, Thursday's show. So sad to be closing out the week. We take off 3 days. We'll be back again on Monday, but we have a whole show ahead of us. What am I getting sad about? Hey guys, it's Nikki Glaser. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. So much to get into today. Couple quick things at the top of the show I want to just announce. It hasn't been announced right now as of this recording, but you know we do these podcasts and they go out as soon as we can get them up daily, which I love about our podcast because yesterday Bob Saget was texting me afterwards like, so when will this be up? And I'm like, today, Bob, today. Everything's so, I love how you know, you get us, it's as close to as live as we can give you. And that's what I like about it. And we really don't ever take anything out. I got to be honest with you. I like anytime I say something and I go, I'm going to take that out later. I forget. And it just stays in. And then all my friendships and, you know, close personal relationships in my family, if they hear the podcast that I didn't go back and edit, we're in trouble. Luckily, those people don't listen. But you're listening right now. And what I want to tell you is today, the thing that I have been teasing forever and the thing that I was filming when, you know, this whole podcast started down in the Cayman Islands, I can finally announce because it is being announced in a couple hours. But by the time this baby pops out, it will already be out in the world and I can talk about it finally. The show that I taped in the Cayman Islands, drum roll please, is called F-Boy Island. That's right, folks. F-Boy Island coming to HBO, HBO Max. Let me tell you a little bit about it because I might tell you more things than you should know in the press release. So what it is three women move to a tropical island where they're joined by 24 men, 12 self-proclaimed nice guys looking for love, and 12 self-proclaimed F-boys, there to compete for cold, hard cash. The women will navigate the dating pool together with the hope of finding a lasting love connection. And by the finale, all will be revealed. Who is a nice guy? Who is an F-boy? And who do the women ultimately choose? F-Boy Island is a social experiment that asks the age-old question, can F-boys truly reform or do nice guys always finish last? Are you in? I'm in. I like even reading that. I'm like, you guys, you don't even understand. I heard the name. This name of this show was floated in an email to me 6 months before I got the call to do it. My agent sent me an email of like, hey, we know you're looking to get into the reality show space and host something. Here's one that we just have the name of. And it said Fuckboy Island. At the time, I think it was Fuckboy Island. Obviously, that was like a working title because no one's going to let that air. Even though I don't even think they tried because let's be honest, F-Boy Island was even hard to get past. Like the whole time we were filming the show, this is just for you guys to know, please don't tell anyone. We didn't know that it was going to be called F-Boy Island because to run that by legal, to run that, to make sure HBO is cool with having that be a show. And F-Boy sounds so stupid. I know you like, when I first heard it, I was like, if it's not Fuckboy, what are we doing? Like, let's just call it Fuckboy or have Bleep Boy, you know, like F-Boy. I have to say F-Boy. And I'll tell you, the first time I said it, I'm like, welcome to F-Boy Island. There are 24 F-Boys, 12 of you are nice guys, and 12 of you are self-proclaimed F-Boys. I felt ridiculous. By the fourth F-Boy, not ridiculous anymore. And my whole world was about F-Boys and calling them F-Boys. I still call boys F-Boys. So the fear I had of people being like, F-Boy, what does that even mean? Don't worry, you'll get used to it and it'll feel real nice. It's kind of like COVID. If you haven't noticed, if you're in an area of the States or the world where things have opened up, you realize by Andrew made the hilarious joke that I did on Conan about being down in the Cayman Islands when I was talking about how there's no COVID down there and it was prior to the U.S. opening up. And I told Conan, if you're wondering when the U.S. opens up, like how quickly you'll adjust to like and forget that COVID was even a thing. We went to the grocery store for our first outing and we forgot by aisle 5. Like that's how quickly you get used to saying F-boy is as quickly as you get used to not like being like, for my birthday party the other night, karaoke, it was just like a normal night. Like there was no one wearing a mask. It wasn't on our minds, maybe because we were being ignorant and stupid, but We're not 2 weeks out yet, so we don't know if anyone's died. Probably someone's eardrums are pierced by my rendition of, what did I sing that was too high for me? Shake It Off. Shake it off, shake it off. I can't really hit that. I stay up too late. Anyway, F-Boy, you'll get used to it. And, oh, and I wanted to say about the party. We all left and we go, oh my God, we forgot that COVID was even a thing. We didn't even realize that that was actually special because it just felt so normal, if that makes any sense. And I just want to give a shout out to everyone who made the show with me. Can I just tell you who made the show, Noah? Because, okay, first of all, so I see F-Boy Island on this like list of shows. There were a lot of shows on this thing that my agent sent me. Let's say back in like, this was probably at August, September. And I see F-Boy, Fuckboy Island. And I was like, oh my God. I know that I won't get that because it's just too cool. It's HBO. They've never done a reality show. It's just too cool of a concept. They won't pick me. Things never work out. You know, like I'm not trying to be a fatalist and act like woe is me, but you know, when you shoot for the moon, you land amongst the stars. You know, like I'm always glad when I don't get the moon, but this time I got the fucking moon. So what happened was I looked at that and I was like, oh my God, if I got that, that would be amazing. But at this point it was just an email with like, here's some things we're pitching you for that might come up in the future. Then I get a call from Elon Gale, who is an EP of The Bachelor for a long ass time. And I met him through that because he's actually like has quite a huge presence on Twitter and Instagram. Elon Gale is a mastermind behind everything you like that happens on Bachelor and Bachelorette. Just letting you know that. Sam Dean, who was one of the, I believe, showrunners or creators of Love is Fucking Blind. Love is Blind, people. So love, all I heard was Love is Blind, Bachelor people. And then the other, can I just give shout outs to the other people that had made this show possible? Ben Butoni and Bill Dixon. And then like so many others. When I win awards for the show, which I really do think that I should be submitted for a hosting Emmy for this. Because eventually, I got my feet wet on this. I really found out who I was as a host very quickly. I think I nailed it. I'm really proud of this show. This podcast and this show are like my two, like they're my children that I want to like, they're like my Beyoncé's. And then Solange is like the other shows in the past. No, I'm very proud of Solange's too, but these are like showstoppers. These shows. I am, and I only saying the Solange and Beyonce thing because I always say that my sister was a Beyonce and I was a Solange. And I'm so glad that she didn't want to be a performer because if she would have wanted to be a Beyonce, I would probably be dead right now because she could have done it. And if she eclipsed me in like attention and fame, I don't know that I would handle it very well. But luckily she's a good person who wanted to be a teacher and a mother and she's great at those. But stay in your lane, Lauren. Stay in your fucking lane. Don't you ever, ever take singing lessons because you have a beautiful voice and it would make me feel very intimidated. And I'm trying to become a pop star right now. And that's my lane now. Okay, I'm so excited about the show, if you can't tell. It's getting announced today. I've been having to be so mum about it. Oh, so let me just finish the story. So then I get a call from Elon Gale, who is a friend of mine. He's brought me on to I was on Caitlin Bristow's season of The Bachelorette. I got brought on with Amy Schumer was doing one of her group dates. Like they did stand up. And so Amy worked it out as the generous person she is to always bring her girlfriends who need the exposure. She worked it out so that she was like, can I bring my girlfriends? So me and Rachel and Feinstein and Bridget Everett all got to be on The Bachelor. I met Bachelor people through that. That was my first time on reality TV. I met Caitlin Bristow, which by the way, I'm on Caitlin Bristow's podcast Off the Vine today. It's an amazing episode in which we laugh so much. It's so funny. And we talk about the latest episode of The Bachelorette, which aired on Monday. And I would really like you guys to jump on in and get involved in that show because I'm going to be talking about it a lot. Not a ton, but a lot. He texts me and goes, hey, I have something to talk to you about. This is in January. I just moved in my apartment here. We're trying to figure out what the podcast is, when that's going to launch, everything. I'm kind of like twiddling my thumbs. Elon writes me, which he does sometimes, because he always throws me a bone and is like, hey, like, why don't you come on a Bachelor After the Rose ceremony? This show they did. He's put me on a bunch of stuff, always trying to find ways to get me to work because he's a fan of mine as I am him. He put me in his book. He has a book called You're Not So Great, You're Not That Great or something like that. And it's about like just stories of failure. And
I wrote a thing for his book and he put me in his book. It's so fun. About my abusive therapist. Shout out to Donna. Hope you're well. You taught me a lot. And also you, I could have bought a house with all the cash that I used to give you under the table for therapy that I don't even know you were qualified to give. Still you should be investigated. Anyway, so he calls me. I think it's just going to be like talking about someone like just gossiping or something. And he's like, hey, there's the show. I'm doing the show called F-Boy Island. And I, Fuckboy Island. And I go, okay. Yeah, I remember reading about this 5 months ago in an email. I go, that's you? And he's like, that's me. I'm actually doing a good impression of him. And I go, okay. And he goes, and I want you on it. And I go, really? He explains the show to me, by the way, first. And then he goes, I want you on it. And I go, oh my God. Noah, I am not joking you. I have been wanting to be the fucking Bachelorette for so long. I'm still wanting to be a Bachelorette. Just because I'm the host of the show does not mean that I still am not looking for love and looking to find it on TV. Everyone listening out there, any producers, make a show for me where I find love. I'll be really good at it. I'll get fingered in a hot tub. I'll be more prudish than you think, but then I'll also do like whorish things. It'll be so fun. Someone, God damn it, write a show. I pitched a show. I don't have time to make a show. I could sell one about this. But someone just plugged me into one. That being said, it quickly became apparent to me that it was embarrassing, Noah, because I literally go, really? Like I responded like, finally someone wants to put me in as the girl looking for love. And then he didn't even know, but he didn't know that I thought he meant that he was saying the contestants. And he goes, I just think you'd be a great host for this. And I was like, yeah, it's. And I literally thought it was so embarrassing. I put it in the press release though, so now he knows. I legit thought, my quote is, when I first got the call to be a part of a reality dating show called F-Boy Island, I said yes immediately, which is true. Then I realized they weren't asking me to be one of the girls looking for love. This is not a joke, it was embarrassing. But as a massive fan of the genre, hosting this show was a true dream. I look forward to hosting for the next 43 seasons. I knew going into it that a show created and produced by the people behind my two favorite shows, The Bachelor and Love is Blind, was going to be insanely good. But this one exceeded my expectations. I can't wait to watch it every week. I mean every goddamn word of that, you guys. I already know what happens, but I don't know how it's going to be edited. It's so funny. You know, Bachelor in Paradise announced that David Spade is going down and hosting. They're switching it up with like, and then they have Caitlin Bristow and Tayshia Adams filling in for Chris Harrison as the co-host of The Bachelorette this season. And they're leaning into comedy a bit more, making it a little bit light. This was our show is that so much. Like we are being so funny in this. It's so funny, but it's also so real. I was every version of myself that you hear on this show because I was doing this show while I was doing that show. So if you love me on this show, you gotta tune in. Just for me as a fan, I would really appreciate it as my besties for you to tune in. But I know that you're gonna be hooked. It's so wild. It's really funny. And dare I say, I got a little wrapped up in it and I didn't know what was happening. Like I got wrapped up in the show and felt lied to by some of the guys, you know, like I, as a host, I purposefully didn't want to know stuff that was happening in the background. First of all, I made a promise never to lie to any of the contestants. I told that early on because I don't know what working in reality TV is like, but I told all the producers, like, I don't lie. And they were like, what? Like, I thought the Zoom was muted. Like, I was like, you guys have to unmute. And they're like, no, we're just silent and scared of why we hired you. No, I never had to lie, which is great. But I stayed in the dark about a lot of things because I wanted to process it and it was all genuine. And I just think it's a really special show that is doing something different with the genre. It's called F-Boy Freaking Island. And the honest reason for why I accepted this and would have accepted it under any circumstances is because my IMDb forever, when I am dead, will say F-Boy Island. And that is hilarious. Just when you, so as a lesson for you, when something comes up in your life where you go, that sounds ridiculous. I don't want to be associated with something so silly. And that's not me. That's not what I do. When you look through your wardrobe and you go, I'm going to a baseball game tonight. This is me last night. And I want to wear something cute. but I also like want to feel comfortable. And you have no options. And the only option you have is a Taylor Swift shirt. And the last time all these people you're going to the game with saw you, you were also wearing a Taylor Swift shirt, and you don't want to be that person. Realize you are that person. You are F-Boy Island. Do silly things. Be yourself. Lean into what initially feels good. And I promise you that it's when you cease to judge everything you do and make decisions on how it's going to make you look, you are free from ever looking kuh. Right? So I wore a Taylor Swift shirt last night. No regrets. I was comfortable at the game. We went to the baseball game last night. Let's get into it with Andrew Collins.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome, Andrew.
Hi, Nikki.
Hey, I was just talking about the baseball game.
Oh.
Yeah, I was talking about my dilemma last night of trying to pick out something to wear.
Oh.
How'd you sleep last night, by the way?
I slept good. Actually, no, I didn't.
Yeah?
'Cause we got home late. I drank caffeine to enjoy the game, and then you get home, and you're too caffeinated. Story of my life.
Story of your life, man.
So I didn't go to bed till
like 1.
That's
why I was mad at you, because when I got home, I go... Not mad at you, but like I'm not trying to. I kept my mouth shut because I'm tired of being the girl that feels like she knows what's going on in Andrew's head, and like people don't appreciate being like told, I knew you were gonna do this. So I'm sorry to say that. But last time when we got home at 10:43, I was like, I'm gonna walk Luigi. You want to get in a morning show? Because we're watching the morning show together. I'm finally caught up to Andrew. He went 2 episodes ahead, which I allowed.
You allowed that.
Yeah, we talked about it, which I like that. I like the communication. You were really nice to me about me
being
weird. Yeah,
I watched 2 episodes with you.
Yeah, again. Like, again. Because here's the thing, Noah. He gets 2 episodes ahead. And I'm like, okay, give me till tomorrow night to catch up. And he's like, I can do that. And I'm like, thank you. And if it takes me longer than that, you go ahead on your own. We get to the next night and I go, just go ahead. Because I don't like watching things alone. I'm not going to get through it. I got through 10 minutes of one episode and I had 2 to get through and they're an hour long. And I go, watching alone does not keep me accountable. I'm in my phone. I want to process it. I want to make fun of it. I don't watch things alone. And so Andrew was kind enough to rewatch both episodes with me, which I think is good because you're on your phone so much when you watch things. And I am too, that watching things twice makes you fill in the gaps of when you're looking at your phone, you know?
Yes. I also got home when I checked the Apple. And I'm sure, whatever,
I know,
couples
we don't need
deal
to
with this.
It. Yeah.
No. That it was 2 episodes ahead. So it was on episode 5.
He
so I assumed that you jumped ahead without
he's
me.
He's on my account. And yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, but yeah. So
last night I said, let's get in a morning show. Because it was like, oh, it'll take us until, that'll mean that we're probably going to go to bed at midnight. But let's be honest. I know you're going in your room and you're going to be on your phone until 2 a.m. Just like I am. So why don't we just like kill some of that time together by watching a morning show? Why?
Because I was trying to get to bed by 11:15. I mean, I'm
not... Oh, you're trying. But
yeah.
Do you really go in there and try, or do you...
Yeah,
are you on
I
your
try.
Phone?
It's very frustrating because I'll lay down in bed, and in about 10 minutes, I'll go to sleep. I think I'm asleep.
Really?
Literally 20 minutes later, I'm wide awake.
What? Wait, what do you mean?
I don't know. I think I'm good for the night. I'm sure this happens to other people.
I think I need to like teach you how to go to sleep. And I'm not saying that but I think I might be able to help you because
you'll tuck me in. Read
honestly,
me a book.
Like I want to like come in and just see what your situation is because I do. The reason I ask you every day, how did you sleep, is not because it's just the name of the segment. It's because I actually care about how people sleep and I care about how I sleep. And I realize I've done enough research. I know what to do to make it better so that you can fall asleep. But I might be wrong. There are some people that just can't sleep.
I think what I can do for my sleep is, so I work out at 8 a.m. this class.
Have you ever tried meditating with a Ambien in your mouth? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I love that my solution would be meditation. Yeah. I go, and also like dissolving 14 Ambien in your gum line.
No, but I think what I do is I do a siesta for myself, which I'm so happy that
your
I get to do it.
Your siestas are so long.
Oh,
dude.
They're good siestas.
You go
siestas.
3 hours. That's not a siesta.
That's a fiesta.
There you go.
Hey, yo.
Yeah, that's a no. Ford Fiesta. It's going to break down on you eventually.
Yeah, well, what happens is I think I sleep too much in the afternoon, and so then at night, if I could make it through the afternoon, I could probably sleep like a fucking baby.
Let's not make it through the afternoon. Let's do a 20-minute nap in the afternoon. Seriously, set your alarm and really try to stick to it, because I swear to God, Andrew, if you just do 20 minutes, you'll feel refreshed. It'll be hard to get out of, but you won't you cannot take an hour plus long nap in the middle of the day and expect to get to sleep 8 hours later.
They do it in Spain.
No, no, no. They do an hour long break.
You know what they do there?
Yeah, but it's a short nap. I mean, this is based on like...
They eat late too, and they go to bed at like 11:30.
A really good plan is to have, when you have your coffee, when you're starting to crash during the day... So right before, try this today if you crash, because you got up early today. You didn't sleep a lot last night. When you feel that, like, I'm ready for my nap, yeah. Have one cup of coffee, all right? Just listen to me. Have one cup of coffee or half a cup, whatever makes you feel stimulated. And then right as you're sipping it, like, go take your nap right after that. Because the caffeine will not have kicked in. And by the time 20 minutes has passed, it will have kicked in. Just like when I take my ADD meds. 30 minutes before I get up, I set my alarm, I bleary-eyed grab the ADD med, I put it in my mouth, and then I fall back asleep for another half hour. And by the time my alarm goes off the next time, I'm like ready to get out of bed because the drug that I put in myself has kicked in.
The only thing is, like, what am I going to do when I wake up?
There's tons to do. Learn an instrument, play guitar with me. I'm always playing guitar. I always like someone to play with me. We had so much fun that one day when you were we were playing all the songs. I would love for you to bring some songs into it that we could do together that you want to play. You only know one. And I do like that song, but we learned one with my dad last week that was fun. I've just seen a face. I can't forget the time, old place.
And the other one, the other John Prine song.
Yes. So,
I mean, yes.
Baseball game.
So we went to the baseball game. Second game in five days with Greg Warren and Tim Convey. We had
two St. Louis comics. Tim Convey is also my ex-boyfriend's brother and one of my best friends.
Little higher seats.
Yeah, we were up
last time. Listen, to talk shit to Greg.
Glazer, you know, splurged on Thursday night to impress my parents. And I just wanted the best experience. The seats were like $100 a pop. I spent $400 on four seats. I felt good about it. My parents were, doing a staycation that I was trying to make their Greece trip that fell through, where they flew to Germany and had to come back home because Germany was their stopover before Greece. They got exiled and they got sent home. So I decided to splurge, get some nice seats. It was fucking worth it, dude.
Yeah, it was.
Because then last night we were actually in good seats.
Because you could see the bulge in the pants of the baseball player.
Yeah, I know. Last night I was bitching about the close seats because I like to people watch, Noah. And we only had two rows in front of us. Didn't leave me a lot of people to watch. But the thing is, we were behind the dugout of the opposing team on Thursday night when Andrew and I went with my parents, and you like make eye contact with the baseball players, and not, I'm not saying that in a sexual way, it's just like weird to see, you know, when you go to a concert, or if you were to go to my show nikkiglazer.com/tour for tour tickets. Also, I am announcing today there is a huge festival in we are taking over. Did you know this? I'm going to JFL Just for Laughs is a you know, the comedy festival in Canada, huge. They have all the best names. I'm doing a JFL Cancun, November 7th. Let me just type. I got to let you guys know because I want my besties there so bad. And I want you guys, if any of you are planning fun Mexico trips, you're going to.
Are we doing shows with foam?
What?
Cancun, baby. Spring break. Did you ever go to Cancun for spring break?
No, I've never been. Oh. Just for Laughs escapes. That's hard to say. Cancun, November 3rd through 7th, 2021. Guys, I'm not kidding you. Mark it. There's a $30 deposit to save your spot. Go to, you can find it. Just Google just, and it's going to be on my socials today. Just for Laughs escapes. It would be such a fun trip to plan with your alone. You'll meet other comedy fans. We're taking over an entire resort. No other people except comedy fans. Listen to these names. Jim Jefferies, Tom Segura,
whoa,
Nikki Glaser, Steve-O, Nicole Byer, Jay Farrow, Girls Gotta Eat, Donnell Rawlings, Ron Funches, Deborah DiGiovanni, Goddamn Comedy Jam, which I know I'm going to be on because you get to sing a song, and many, many more. There's going to be live comedy, podcasts, beach parties in a 5-star resort takeover. So if this, and you are going to have the opportunity to win an all-inclusive trip that I'm going to have on my socials. They're asking me if I want to do a giveaway, and I said, fuck yeah, I want to do a giveaway. Besties, I'm telling you first, I'm going to do this. Look at my socials. I'll try to give you a heads up on Nikki Glaser Pod on Instagram before I put it on my own. So I want you guys to have a first chance to win this. But just, guys, I really want you there if you can afford it and make it work. Hopefully, if you can't afford it, you can win.
But that's November 3rd through the 7th. And Andrew, you know my boy's going to be there.
I'll be wearing some short shorts on the beach, boy. I'll be drinking a pina colada, virgin.
And let's get this. Can I just talk about this poster? Jim Jeffries, Tom Segura, and then Nikki Glaser. I'm third. Like, this is the weird thing they do on these. I'm almost annoyed for Steve-O and Nicole Byer because Jim Jeffries and Tom Segura at the top. They're the biggest names.
Yeah.
So they're the top billing. They're the Foo Fighters and Eminem of Lollapalooza, yeah. 2009 when I went or whatever. And then it's Nikki Glaser. And then I'm Lady Gaga of that year. You know, like when Lady Gaga MGMT. Was more of a... Yes, I'm MGM. I'm ding, 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 ding. I love that song. That kid. It's called Kids.
Kids. Yeah.
At the beginning of that song, you know how it's like kids going like, and it's like, it's like a kid's on a playground. I used to live on a like behind a playground in North Hollywood in 2007, and every morning I woke up to that sound, and I would always go, but it was just constant kids screaming.
You know what my favorite wake-up song is? Huh. I was lying on the beach of Sunday morning of last week.
Indulging in my self-defeat. And you think you can come, what you only said, said that what you would have done. So I missed a million miles of fun. I know it's not for me.
And you steal my sunshine.
Making sure I'm not. Me and Kirsten used to do this thing. Because during that song it goes, da-din, da-din. Wait, what is that song called really quick? Because I want to
steal my sunshine.
Okay, it's by, yeah, I'm going to play just a part of it because I don't want to get sued, but.
I would play this.
What is this? They definitely cut this out on Z107 in 1997 when I listened to this intro. What is this intro?
It really builds. Hey, Matt. It's him. Hey, man.
You talk to Mark lately?
No.
Do you hear the ding? Ta-ching, that thing in the background.
Talk to him, but he looks pretty good.
Okay, Kirsten and I used to play like we were playing ping pong. We used to hit back to each other. It's a really fun thing to do during that song.
It's the best song. I was a camp counselor for one summer, and they asked me not to come back because they couldn't really find a sport that I coached well. I didn't do a good job, but I got caught breaking curfew because I was hooking up with a girl in a bus. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, in a park bus.
Was one of the counselors?
Yeah. Okay,
good. Just checking. I looked at you like, are we getting into
Jesus Christ.
Something here? No.
But yeah, so I would play that song every morning for my campers to wake them up.
I like that. That's a good wake-up song. I wake up every morning to, this ain't for the best. My reputation has ever been worse. But it sounds like she goes, wait, this is what I wake up to.
It sounds
literally
like an orgasm.
It's just so, it's my favorite song, Delicate by Taylor Swift.
Is that
just
your alarm?
Yeah, every morning. Listen to it.
How do you do that? You could set your alarm to a. Oh.
Listen for the best. I mean, it sounds like. Listen for the best.
Don't you ever
yawning
sleep through
almost.
That, though?
No, I hear it and I go.
It's so nice.
No, I wake up. When I hear it, I kind of like. I don't hate getting out of bed anymore. So it's not like when I wake up, I don't go, fuck. You know, it means like, I get to go do a podcast and I get to go get my Starbucks. Luigi isn't looking at me. He's trying to ignore me, even though he wants to go for a walk. Because he doesn't trust
me.
Look at him right now. He is so depressed.
No, he was good today. He's been wagging his tail. I think he's been happy lately.
I don't know. Maybe I'm projecting. We didn't even get into the baseball game, but hopefully we can talk about it later during the news segment. Let's get to the news.
The news, apparently.
You heard it here first.
I already announced it at the top of the show, but I just wanted to say, again, F-Boy Island.
It feels so good excited. To probably be able to say it.
I'm so excited. I'm going to be on, I don't think this is announced, I'm going to be on Bill Maher next Friday. The 18th, so make sure you check out that. That is a thing I'm terrified for because I don't know anything about politics, legit, like nothing.
Maybe we'll do a run through.
Yeah.
On the pod to
oh
get
my
you
God.
Ready.
That would be so funny like I'll go have through. You guys try to be.
No, you got
to
find five topical
no,
or we'll
Nikki.
Find five topical.
How do you feel? If I can talk about vegan stuff and sex, I'll be fine. Like, if we can talk about sexual issues and cancel culture, like, I know my lane. I'm not going to try to pretend I'm smarter than I am because I'm very dumb and about so much stuff and even stuff that I think
it's
I'm smart about.
It's not that you're
about.
Dumb. It's just you just don't pay attention to it. Yeah, you can learn anything, I think, other than, like,
football.
Math. Huh?
Football.
I don't want to learn it. And baseball. Last night at the game, Noah, we'll get to the news. I swear to God, I struggled with my caption last night. We took a picture at the baseball game, and I was trying to think of a caption for legitimately an hour. And now I'm just going to decide to only post Taylor Swift quotes for the caption. It's really hard to find which one will fit, but there's always one for everything. I finally found one last night that is, because you know I love the players and you love the game. And that was like, for me and Andrew, like, because I like the players, he likes the game. It's also a Taylor Swift song, Blank Space, shout out. I wanted to write that every time they got a home run, which is a lot last night, there's fireworks that go off.
Yeah.
But I wasn't paying attention to the game. So a home run would happen, and then all of a sudden there would be a bomb explosion. Every single time I thought there was a domestic terrorist. Literally, there were four home runs last night, I think, four or five.
Yeah.
And I did not see any of them coming. I shrieked. I thought I was dying at everyone. I think I walked away traumatized last night. And I'm not joking. Like, why do those fireworks have to sound like bombs? They weren't like, you know,
because you call a home run, right? Like, so if you hit a far home run, it's like, it's a bomb. Like,
oh, really?
It's called a bomb.
Well, why are they making it so I can't bring in a purse to protect us from bombs, yet they're doing bomb? It's just very ironic to me that I can't bring in a purse because they're scared of bombs, yet they're setting off a sound that sounds like bombs. They don't even do a kiss cam anymore. Do you know that?
They don't want your bomb competing.
Last night, the funniest thing I think I've thought of in a really long time, they don't do a kiss cam anymore because I think of Me Too stuff. They don't want to put it on a couple and have them like forced to kiss, which I'm grateful for because I always go with guy friends. And if they put it on me, Andrew would probably try to like kiss me and like as a joke, and I'd be like, no, and it would just be awkward. It'd be like when Usher put the microphone in my face, and I'd be like, I could, but I just like, and then I would just look stupid. So I'm always nervous about a kiss cam because I have been on it before with a guy friend, and it led to like tension. So I'm grateful they don't do kiss cam, but what they did last night, Noah, is called a kids cam, and they just put it on kids, and the kids dance. And I was like, why don't we combine them? I was like, let's do a kiss kids cam. Kiss kids cam. And Greg and I were doing a bit where Greg was like, Nikki, we can't do that. And I go, it's perfect. We kiss kids. We combine them both. And he's like, I don't think that can happen. And I just start chanting like, kiss kids, kiss kids. And it reminded me of that old show.
I love
show.
That's what you paid attention to, but not the six home
Wonder
runs.
Chosen.
Wonder Chosen. Beat yes, kids. Thank beat you, kids. Noah. Oh my God. There was
I love
this,
that show.
I literally gave up on that thinking maybe two besties knew what I was talking about, and I was just gonna leave it. Wonder Chosen used to do this hilarious segment where they would have kids reporters on the street just saying inappropriate stuff, but they were little kids
on the street.
Kids on the street. Kids on the beat. Beat kids. Beat kids. And it was like,
wait,
kids.
What is that? Did they interview the kids?
So, no, the kids were little reporters, and you know when you're on the beat, you're like,
yes,
it's like, so kids would be, it would be called kid beat, and so it was or beat kids, like kids on the beat, and they would go beat kids.
It's the best.
It was exactly the same joke. I'm so glad. That's why I love you that you were able to just put Wonder Chosen was so far from to explain what that was. It was going to take forever. Let's get to the news. First segment.
An influencer surgeon with millions of followers on social media says that breast implant illness is real. BII, it's called. There's pain, inflammation, skin rashes, hair loss, brain fog, joint aches, digestive issues, and fatigue are all symptoms commonly reported by those who believe they're experiencing BII.
Okay.
Many doctors have said that despite desperate pleas from sick patients, that BII is not real.
Okay.
But he's going on record that it is real.
So,
however, that most patients are fine with implants. He wants that to be said. But there's like a Facebook, like 145,000 people in this group, you know, 300,000 tits that are.
Okay. I don't care what, if someone is in pain, give it to them. You know, like, what is all of this? Like, it's in your head. That's not real. Obviously, maybe it's not caused by that thing. But if that gives, first of all, it probably is a thing. The emotional trauma you go through with having your body sliced open. I mean, I have a friend who has had surgery that she obviously loves the results of aesthetically, and
she
it's not
boobs?
Breast.
She
no, it's not breast. It's like face stuff. But because they cut her open, something got into the wound that has caused her to now have celiac disease. Like after she got that surgery, she had celiac. So stuff can happen that has nothing to do with the thing during surgery or anesthesia.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
this happens months after the fact.
And listen, I was looking, I was thinking about maybe doing a breast thing at some point, like in 10 years, like when I want to tuck them up and make them look nicer. Like I
add a third one.
Add a, I don't know what's going to be in
Total
style.
Total Recall style.
Make it just it one tube of a boob. Make one in the middle so that's just a.
Yeah, Frida Kahlo your tits.
Yeah, I want a plateau, like a range of, like, so it looks like a, one of those, like a fruitcake, like the shape of a, yeah, I have thought about it. And really my concern is the anesthesia. My friend Joe Buck, when he got
the
hair transplant.
The singer from American Idol?
I really am worried about Fantasia and sounding like this with my voice afterwards. No, Joe Buck got anesthesia, had a when he got a hair transplant because it was so painful. These are all cosmetic things. He talked about it in his book and he told me about it on our 4.5 hour flight. But he, because I hadn't read his book, I'm going to though. My mom bought it for me. He got a tube down his throat to be under because it was so painful having this hair transplant. He had gone through it a couple times and was like, fuck this. They go, oh, we can put you under. Got a tube in his throat. The tube, when they put it in, you know, to put you under, they have like this like inflatable kind of thing that goes around it. So they puff it up so that it stays in place. And it was on a nerve in his vocal cords that got, it was on his nerve too long and it was damaged. And when he came out of it, sports announcer, man who his voice is everything, Joe Buck, couldn't talk and he sounded like this for a year until his nerve came back. That is the kind of thing that I'm too scared to have a thing done.
If you had a tits, not like a breast, like a cup breast, I keep saying
a tits.
If you had a,
I would love them. But I would probably get, I wouldn't do an implant because I'm just too scared of all this. That's why I didn't get LASIK. I'm scared of the 0.001% that see double vision the rest of their life. I read about a newscaster the night before I was scheduled to get LASIK. I read about a newscaster who is a healthy woman by all accounts. You know, all these people, it comes out later. There's a lot more going on than just, she was having double vision and, so much pain from her LASIK, a bad LASIK job, that she's like a woman that spent good money, went to a good doctor. She hung herself because she was going blind and she had a new baby. She might have been doing, you know, other stuff was going on. But guess what? Other stuff goes on with me. And if I do a surgery that hopefully I'm in a state of mind where I would forgive myself and go, look at Nikki, you only wanted bigger boobs. You didn't want to feel depression and pain the rest of your life. Maybe like forgive yourself and that would help you manage your pain, but it's too risky, like to look better. But sometimes the risk is worth it because sometimes women are like, I just don't feel myself. I feel like I was meant to be born with bigger boobs and I want that. And I love when people get surgery done. I think it's so brave. You're taking a huge risk. And so what?
Yeah,
I don't judge it ever.
Some women are, you know, cancer patients that have, you know, lost their breasts. And
I mean, that's a totally, obviously no one has any problem with that. But people really like to judge when women get stuff done when they don't have an excuse, like, or, and I say excuse in quotes, like cancer, whatever. I got a message actually from one of our listeners that Noah reminded me of today because I sent it to her ages ago to be like, I want to talk about this. She said, previously was discussed on the pod, Julie wrote in, previously was discussed on the pod, filler and Botox stuff. I wanted to know if Nikki ever thought about a nose job. And when I say that, I mean absolutely no hate personally. Da, 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 da. I love her nose. Of course. She said, I've been wanting one because of a volume loss. Being 28, my nose has a bump now compared to 18-year-old me. And I don't know how to accept it. That's an interesting way to put it.
What's a volume loss? I don't.
She probably, like, her nose just, whatever it is, she doesn't like her nose. Let's
no,
just
no,
say
no,
that.
I get that.
I don't
I'm
know
just
what it
saying,
means.
I didn't know.
I don't know either. Not enough snot in it. She wants it back to normal. She says, I don't know how to accept it, which I think if I was talking to Julie, I would go, let's talk about that. You don't know how to accept it because I think a lot of this is just acceptance and then we can get past it. But acceptance isn't as easy as just being like, okay, I accept it. She says, I want to fix it, but I'm terrified of surgery and my mother, LOL, and my mother. That's so funny. I don't know why she said mother thing. Anyway, would love some nose positivity talk for my OCD perfectionist self. Yeah, I'll close this thing out by saying there are huge risks involved with plastic surgery, fillers in your face, Botox. I've gotten all those things before. I have regretted some of them. I will revisit some of them. I will make mistakes again where I'll go, wow, I look like the fucking Joker, and I'll laugh about it. Here's my thing for you and your nose, Julie. I would really honestly look into, and you're going to think this is crazy, I would look into filler. For your nose, okay? Because you want a fuller look. I don't think surgery, you should always try to avoid surgery. Going under is risky. Just the pathogens in the room, just surgery is risky. Filler can do wonders with nose jobs. If you haven't seen it, just like Google it online. But also, I think if you really look at it, whenever I think about one thing that I'm like, God, if I could get rid of this, then something, right? Then my life would change. That, like, that's the one thing holding me back from finding a boyfriend. Like, my whole fucking obsession with my one little tooth that's a millimeter two back from my forward tooth. It is such an obsession for me. It's the one thing I want to fix, but I don't wear the Invisalign, so it's obviously I don't want it that bad. But I always think about if I got what I wanted in life because of that tooth, if I got the shows that I wanted, if I was famous in the way I wanted, if I got a boyfriend because of that tooth, everything came together, wouldn't that be kind of fucked up that if everything was based on this one, my tooth yeah. being a millimeter different, or your nose being a little, if you got all the things you wanted because you fixed your nose, wouldn't a part of you go, that was it? Wouldn't it be a little bit sad? So imagine the perfect life that you think is waiting for you on the other side of fixing your nose or fixing whatever. If you get that life, which you're not going to, because we know those things don't come because you fix your nose. But if it does come, wouldn't that be a little bit disappointing too? That's what people were going to love you for, or that's why you were going to get that promotion. And I know we're all, you know, superficial beings, and obviously I like, sometimes I see a guy on Tinder or Bumble, I'm not on Tinder, but Bumble, where I go, oh, his nose is gross, and I like write him off. That's why dating apps suck, because it's all about looks. But I think, Julie, look into filler if it really is something you want to do, because it could be temporary and you can see what you like, you can see how it works. Start very slow. I always tell whenever I go to get filler and stuff, I say, I want to walk out of here and be mad at you because I don't see any results. And by the way, when you get filler, it always is bigger at first than you think. Do not freak out. It will go down. You are always going to be swollen, no exceptions. But I always say to them, I want to come back to you because I'm mad that I can't tell. I say that when I go get a haircut too. And I want it to be, you know, when you ask, when you have long hair and you go, can I get I just want an inch off. And they go, of course. And they take off three. That annoys me. So I always make it clear to hairdressers, I don't want anyone to say that I had a haircut. That's how much minimal I want. So tell that to your doctor. Start very slow. You can always go back. A lot of these doctors, by the way, have sliding scales of like, you can get deals and be like, I can afford $400 worth of filler. I can't go beyond that. And then just work with them. Be very, very, go with a friend who maybe is more honest than you and will help you be honest with the doctor if you can't be. But you are doing them a service by asking for their service. Do not go in there, and I'm projecting because I've been in this situation before where you go in and you get talked into stuff you don't want to do and you pay $10,000 extra for your décolletage, which you don't even know what a décolletage is until they tell you. And you get bamboozled. So go in with someone who knows your budget, knows what you want, and is very firm with the doctor about how firm you want your tits.
Knows. Oh. Well, I guess she could just get giant tits and no one wouldn't care about your face.
Also, when you take down your nose, any girls with big noses, never forget, your nose bone is a tent pole for your face. So when you take the tent pole down, the skin around it, your cheeks, those laugh lines, those hound dog folds, those nasal labial folds is what they're called, are going to get more depressed. And so just remember, your nose is your tent pole to your face. Build up, don't build down.
Could you put a tent together?
No. Yeah, I can do anything. You told me that earlier.
Kim Kardashian is unbothered by Kanye West's rumored romance with Irina Shayk. And she herself is not focused on dating at the moment. So even though she sees him dating, doesn't mean that she wants to get out there again. She wants to focus on the kids.
I hear that.
And she never knew Irina, so she doesn't care.
She'll be in a relationship soon enough. That girl loves being in a relationship, and that's no judgment. But she does find someone quickly. I remember seeing a picture, a video clip of her on the latest episode of Kardashians crying and saying how embarrassing, it's a third marriage failed. And no embarrassment there, Kim. You take chances. I like it. No divorce means a failed relationship to me. Just doesn't. Never has, never will. You did it. You were with Kanye for 5 fucking years. That's a long time. You had kids together. Successful. Now, Kanye dating Irina Shayk, man, that would be very hard for me to handle if I were Kim, because you're divorcing a man probably because of his mental health issues that he's not addressing, is which I, what I'm guessing about the relationship, but I, knowing nothing. To see a man who you hope is getting help to just jump into something else has got to be hurtful, and to jump into something else with a super hot woman that kind of looks like you, and it's just, that would be hard. Just as hard as it was this morning when I tuned into my ex-boyfriend's radio show on my way to get Starbucks, and I heard his co-host talking about like their relationship, and I knew they were going round robin so they could finally get to Chris and be like, so Chris, what's going on with you? And I just was like, do I want to hear this? Because I know they're going to ask him, and do I want to know? And I, you know, me wanting to cut myself, I just kept listening. And he goes, I'm single, and I did see a girl. She goes, because yesterday in the office, Chris told me he saw a girl in the hallway, and he was like, yeah, I mean, everyone's back to work at this building where there's a bunch of shows going on. And I saw this girl, and I was like, who is that? And I felt that. The idea that he was like really into another girl, it used to horn me up because he was mine, and I loved hearing about like, oh, I saw a girl today, and I go, wow, that is someone I'd like to fuck. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, tell me about her. Let's see if you can try, you know. But this was like, what did she look? I wonder what she looked like. Is she like smaller than me? Is she tiny? Like not smaller, like skinny. It's more like, is she like tiny and short? Like that's something I can never be, you know, like I don't want to be any other size, and I like the way I am. But when someone is a different ethnicity or like a different height or a different age, things I literally cannot change. I mean, spray tan can get you looking like you might be from somewhere else in a way that feels uncomfortable sometimes and cancelable. But sometimes when I see like a guy that I used to date dating a girl that like is Latinx, mm-hmm. Is that how we say it? I just go like, oh my God, like I'll never be that. And I'm sure they feel that way when their exes date white girls or black girls, you know. But I did text him, and I tried to get in on the conversation because sometimes he'll read my text live on air. And I didn't write about that because he is entitled to that. I talk about dating all the time freely around him, so this is fine to hear. I also don't think he's ever going to really end up in something. That's what I have to convince myself of, even though I don't want to be with him and we're good. But I am going in tomorrow to his station to be on air with them. I like was like, I'll come in tomorrow. And I'm like, I will wear a bikini. Like I'm already like, it's just so ridiculous how, you know, he's not going to hear this. Please don't tell him if you know him. But like it stung. It always stings to see your ex. You like your ex.
I would have done exactly the opposite of everything you just said.
You protect yourself. You are really good about. Like,
I don't know why I would. I'm not judging. I just don't know why you put yourself in this situation just because. That's why I love hearing.
Why
this.
Do you read comments?
No, I'm not saying that I don't do anything wrong.
No, but I'm wondering what's the difference between like reading comments on something that where you know you're going to read something that hurts your feelings. Let's say like the first thing is like, not to be rude, man, but, and you keep reading. Why don't you stop reading? As in okay. Me turning off the radio at that point.
No, but it's not just that. It's then going the next step of then reaching out to him, and then going the next step of going to see him, and then the next step.
No, I'm going
of,
on the show because listen, I like the show and I want to talk about it.
No, you want to get attention from him though.
No, I honestly, it's not that. I do want him to remember how hot I was, for sure. I don't want to, I honestly don't want to date him. You know that.
I know, but then why even put yourself in
because
this position?
Because I love that show, and I was texting with them, and I was like, I want to call in so bad, because they were talking about dating, and I recently, I don't think I've talked about it on this show.
But don't you see how, like, Kim is like, I'm not letting Kanye's decisions affect my decisions.
It's not affecting my decision.
It's affecting your, yes, it is, because then you reached out to him and then you want
to
see him.
Yeah, I get to go on St. Louis Radio and promote my shows and have a funny interaction with my ex-boyfriend that's honest and real and is good radio. And it's going to be fun for me because I like flirting with my ex. It doesn't cause me pain. I really don't feel pain about it.
But you said it was like cutting.
I mean, I meant that as like.
I'm not trying to break down what you're doing, or I'm not trying to judge you by any means, and I'm not trying to protect you. I don't care what you do. If you're having fun, do whatever the fuck
really
you want.
I really am having fun. I promise you. This will not lead to
me. I'm just saying,
being,
for me, I would do like the complete. I would like run from any of that because it would hurt me too much.
Can I all. Tell you what I did though on my dating apps? I think I told you this on Raya, and not Bumble because I don't think you can.
But the friendship thing?
Yeah, on Raya. Did I say this on the show? on Raya, Noah, I said it to Here for Friends. I told you this, yeah. And you, because here's my thing is, like, I don't ever want to meet up with someone under the pretense of we might bang someday or get married. I don't want that in the air. I don't want that to be like, are we on a date? I don't want there to be romance. It makes me uncomfortable. It makes me feel out of control. I know this is a control thing for me. I changed mine to friends because I realized that any guy who comes across me on Raya and is like, oh my God, I love this girl, or like, maybe I don't even know who this is, but wow, she's cute. Oh, she's just here for friends. The kind of guy I would want would go, what is this friend thing? I'm gonna, even though she says friends, what is she? She's, there's something going on here. Either she's like seeing a guy that she doesn't really care about. Like, I would take that as like a challenge. And I hope that any guy, and maybe it will turn off a guy and he's not going to come through. That's not the right guy for me. I like a guy who's going to go, okay, I'll be friends with this girl. And then when we start as friends, and then I get to decide when it gets sexual, and I get to, and not by being like, hey, now we're sexual. You know, I suddenly like touch his arm, lingering eye contact, letting him know that like, okay, we've turned to the, this isn't just friends. But I always, always wanted to start as friends because it does not work for me to go on a date with someone that I don't know and have it already be like.
But then even if, okay, I think you're then, you're probably like, you're getting quality over quantity at that point, mm-hmm. because you're getting someone that, oh, it's friendship, let's get past, you know.
Yeah.
But the overall goal for that guy, even if you know that, okay, I'll start as friends, that doesn't matter, even if you know, like, he's not pretending to be friends, but...
No, that he would start out...
That he would start out there, that I don't shows mind. More. Yeah,
that, and it shows that, like, guess what? I want to be friends with my exes. So if we don't end up working out, like, if your goal for us to be together, guy who's agreeing to be my friend on Raya, and then maybe go out and get a coffee, if we get together and then we break up and aren't together anymore, I hope we can still be friends. Mm-hmm. So I hope that there's friendship there to begin with. Every guy that I've ever pursued has started off totally platonically.
Yeah.
And I've known from the get-go, like, there's been an energy, like, I know right away. That's the thing, is I don't think there's ever been, there's only been one guy who we all know who came after me very hard, and I wasn't interested in him at first, but then he pursued me so hard and was so impressive that I ended up liking him. But it never ever happens where I don't know right away. I at least have an inkling.
My only thing with if I was to say, you know, I'm just here for friendships, in a way I would feel like I'm kind of protecting myself of not getting rejected, because then I could go, oh, they don't swipe right on me because I put friendship, not because of my looks or my picture or whatever.
I'm not saying I've been so many times I've swiped, because on Raya they give me the same people over and over, and you know that those people have seen you too, and I don't match with them constantly, so I'm constantly feeling rejected. It's nothing.
Yeah,
literally, I know it looks like that. It has nothing to do with that, because I get rejected all the time. People don't realize this. I shoot my shot a lot. I would say a lot for a girl that's, and people always go, Nick, you could have whoever you want. I get rejected so much and friend zoned and kind of like pushed off more than you think. So it's not fear of being rejected at all. It is actually just sorting out the men who actually are like, oh, this is a challenge. She's not going to, I have to be friends with her first and then she'll maybe warm up to me. Yeah, that's the way I am. I'm really scared of intimacy, and that's how I have to start. What's our next story? Oh, sports!
Here's Andrew's weekly sports moment.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, here it comes. Home you run. Excited? Home run, the bomb.
Bomb.
Cincinnati Reds star Joey Votto.
Wait, we saw the Cincinnati Reds in the dugout.
Yes.
We were there last... Do we know this guy? Joey Votto?
Joey Votto was not there.
Fuck, okay.
Because he was hurt.
Okay.
But this is where it comes to us, is he called St. Louis Cardinals fans shit-talking motherfuckers. And which kind of great. I wish... Do we have the soundbite of this? Because he's on, like, NBC. Like, he's on regular, like, TV. Like, not... He shouldn't be cursing.
Was Joey Votto even in the... Maybe injured in the dugout when we were there? Why? Did he hear us? We weren't talking shit about...
No, and also the crowd doesn't really...
I mean, we were at the game last night.
There's not that many people. No one talks.
Oh my God, last night we were at the game, and
it was so
I'm not
quiet.
Even joking
you. It felt
you.
Weird.
I it was so quiet. And I was telling Tim, we were catching up, and I was telling Greg about my life and sharing all these intimate details. And I'm like, the person behind me could easily hear because 2 seconds later, the woman behind me goes, "Did you hear how much Chris Harrison got for that Bachelor deal?" And I turned around, I go, "How much did he get?" Because we had talked about Chris Harrison is no longer the host of Bachelor. I didn't know he got a settlement to leave. $50 million.
Oh, wow.
Which is not what Chris Harrison wants, by the way. I don't think that guy wants money anymore because he has it. That guy wanted to be on TV. He is not happy,
and
by
he doesn't want his reputation to be ruined.
But still, $50 million.
That helps to sleep on that.
That was funny last night. You brought up, though,
when Harry met Sally, and it makes me think of that when they were arguing while doing the wave, right?
Oh, yeah. The wave was happening last night and just telling a sad story and like still having to get out of your seat. That was a great scene. So what did Joey Votto say?
So Joey Votto, so when the Reds played the Cardinals last time, the Cardinals swept them.
No, the Reds.
No, the last season. And so, well, earlier this season.
Oh, they already played.
And they brought a broom and, you know, sweep that shit. Like, they were talking mad shit.
Okay.
So then, yeah, listen to him. It's kind of hot, actually, I think.
Especially hard to win 4 games in a row on the road. And I don't know. I think I read the last time we did that was in 1990. And
they won 4 games last week.
We had some talking motherfuckers in St. Louis. after the first series,
that was you talking about the Bachelor.
Kind of nice to go on their road.
Okay, so he's saying like coming back now because last week the Reds the first time they came through this season
they got swept by the Cardinals.
This time the Reds swept the Cardinals big time, right?
Yes.
And we went to the game last night they played the Indians and the Cardinals came back and like had a great game and it was like this like oh good they're not as bad as we thought when they were playing the Reds. I love that because, you know, I'm sure they did get a lot of shit talk. And Cards fans that's what I love about St. Louis is that people love the Cardinals. They're dorks about it. Everyone in the stadium is a goddamn dork wearing like their red stuff and eating trashy food. And like just you look around, and you go, and I'm saying that with love. I'm a dork too. But like St. Louis, there's no one looked cool at the game. Everyone just looks like they're just enjoying this thing that is just really dorky. And so,
I didn't feel like earnestly. People were being loud enough where if I go, "Yeah, Joey Votto, you fucking,
you would have been kicked out.
I'd feel weird.
Yeah,
I
no, it was like a church service. Yeah, it was like a memorial service.
Have you ever been to a tennis match? It's the fucking worst.
Oh, it's so quiet.
Because if I go, "Hey, Nikki, what's going on?
What did Chris Harrison get?
What did Harrison?" They go, "Shaq! Choke a bitch is trying to serve.
Choke a bitch?" golf too. I always hear Baba Booey's, you know, in the swing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, I like a quiet.
My buddy
event.
Yelled.
I like a
so Tiger event. Woods after he got caught, you know, cheating and everything.
Oh my! What did your buddy yell?
He yelled while Tiger was in like his backswing, like, "Hey, let's go to Rachel's later," which is a
Rachel
big
Uguitel.
Strip club.
Oh, and it's Rachel Uguitel.
Wow! Holy shit! I didn't think of that. Yeah, but it's also like a big strip club, and Tiger gave him a look like I would fucking rip your head off.
It reminds me of when my dad was in Los Angeles in 1967, I believe. Later 60s. He was a kid still. My dad must have been, you know, 13. He's in the back of a car driving around with his like older cousins and they're on Sunset Boulevard and they pull up and they see Elvis.
Elvis?
Elvis. Driving
in
a convertible.
Heard this?
Oh, you never heard the story?
No.
They pull up and my dad is a little kid. I think this might have been like 65, maybe after like just the beat. So my dad was probably 10 or 11. The Beatles had just arrived on the scene. Elvis is kind of like becoming more like, you know, fat and
painkiller
like,
Elvis.
Yeah, painkiller Elvis. And the Beatles are now like replacing him, right? And my dad's a huge Beatles fan as an 11-year-old kid. He's in the back seat of this car trying to like show off for his cousins. They see Elvis. They pull up to Elvis. He locks eyes with Elvis and he goes, "Elvis stinks." He said stinks. Elvis stinks or
your
sucks.
Your dad yelled this?
My dad, my little pipsqueak 11-year-old dad said,
it's probably
Elvis,
low though back then.
Elvis stinks. I know my dad's voice. Yeah. He said, "Babe." He said, he told his cousin to like, "Hold on. Don't go through this red light yet, babe." Because that's what we say to our family members. And he said, "Elvis stinks."
Did Elvis look at him?
He said that the look Elvis shot him was of such disdain and sadness, and like that my dad felt so bad.
Your
like, you
dad
know, when
killed
you're a little
Elvis.
Punk when you're a kid and you do something and you go, that was too much. Like when I grabbed that girl's butt on a trip trying to make my cousin laugh, I like sexually harassed another girl when I was a little girl accidentally because I was trying to make my cousin laugh. And I honked her butt and said, honke, in front of my whole family. And I was the pariah. Like I had to apologize to her, which I should have. I mean, it was definitely, this poor girl was like, I just got my butt honked by this little bitch that's trying to make her cousin JD laugh, which he did laugh. It was hilarious, but not okay. And just those moments where you take a swing.
I pantsed a kid in front of like the whole class and he was on a pull-up bar.
Oh.
Remember when you'd pants someone? And it's a good pantsing. You don't get the underwear too.
No,
although it is way funnier.
You did.
I got the, well, he wasn't wearing underwear.
Oh.
And I think I might've noticed. I don't know. I don't know what that says about me.
We were all evil.
And he got stuck doing the pull-up and he froze. So he's just naked hanging.
Besties should send in the evil things they did as kids that they look back and they cringe so hard because I have just been able to admit
the most evil
thing
I ever did. And I really
got to get the listener mail. Yeah.
Oh, real quick. I rolled a skateboarder in front of a kid that went to hit a ramp on his BMX and he did like a double flip before hitting the ramp. And that was the worst thing I've ever done.
Send in your evil things. Let's get into listener mail. These are emails and voice memos and DMs that you send in to us via Nikki Glaser Pod on Instagram or the Nikki Glaser Podcast at gmail.com or through the link to leave us a voice memo in our Instagram bio. Noah, what do we have today? What are we starting off with?
All right, let's start off with an email that we got from Abe.
Oh, Abe.
Okay, so he wrote in about a song lyric that changed his life.
Ooh.
The song is First Day of My Life by Bright Eyes.
Oh my God.
The part that got me was the lyric towards the end, I'd rather be working for a paycheck than waiting to win the lottery. When I first heard that line, it really opened up the way I viewed relationships. I've had some long-term things, but like Nikki, I always felt my partners were not good enough and there was probably somebody better right around the corner. But after 5 years of dating randos and listening to that song, I had a complete shift in the way I view relationships. Some people wait to win the lottery. Others take what they have and work with it. Now I'm happily married to an old girlfriend I had years ago. We built upon our foundation, and now I honestly can't see myself with anybody else.
Holy shit, Abe. First of all, this song, if you guys don't know this song.
How does it go? I don't know.
This is the first day of my life.
Oh, yes.
I swear I was blind before I met you. And then the lyric he's talking about goes, and I'd rather be working for a paycheck than waiting to win the lottery. It's so good. I've never thought about that lyric this way. This song, I have a whole story for myself to share about it. It's so fucking weird that you picked the song, Abe. But I think you're so right. I've been waiting to win the lottery. And honestly, I feel like a very lucky person in terms of my career and being able to be on a show called F-Boy Island that I only could have dreamed of being asked to do. And they asked me. I didn't have to ask them, which was just like, it's kind of like, you know, taking a different route home than you usually do and then bumping into the love of your life is how this show came into my life. So I'm going to keep waiting to win the lottery in terms of meeting a guy and realize that it is so much about luck, but that if it doesn't happen eventually, I will totally be willing to, because even if you do win the lottery, by the way, it takes a lot of work to keep your family away, to make sure you can manage your money. People that win the lottery end up killing themselves a lot of times. So, but I love this. I love that quote made you look at your life differently and go, hey, this girl that I'm seeing, although I think about the future and I go, maybe this isn't, she's not wife material. It's not what I envision for myself. Going, well, what am I doing with her in the first place? Obviously there's something there. Why don't I just keep at it? And if it doesn't turn into what I want, I can leave. And maybe, as I've seen with so many things in my life, it will turn into something great that is beyond my wildest dreams because I have never been able to predict anything in my life. So why am I pretending like I can predict this?
Yeah. And you're working by working, you know, for a paycheck. You worked for a paycheck to get the F-Boy Island, which seems like a lottery almost to you.
But I did the work.
But you did the work. So if you work on yourself outside of a relationship, so when the right guy does come and it feels like the lottery because he came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. No, it's because you worked on your shit and you were ready for someone.
I just like you were ready
for F-Boy Island.
Can I just share what I did? This song makes me cringe so hard. And it's like so funny and ironic that this song is being brought up on the heels of revealing like honke, the thing I did to that girl's butt. This is all, those two stories are the only, these are the only two things that I literally, maybe there's one or two more that I have a very uncomfortable, I'm uncomfortable even sharing them. And I'm a little bit removed from this one enough that I can't, I'm picking up my skin because it's making me nervous. Okay. When I fell in love with Pete Lee in the summer, in the spring of 2006, my first love, my first orgasm, I met him. He was doing a guest spot on a I was doing a guest spot on a show where he was the feature act. Harlan Williams was headlining. That has nothing to do with anything. I was doing a guest spot. We had love at first sight. I had never felt it before. He was eating a salad. I walked into the green room and he literally like his, he stopped chewing because we were just like, hi. We had a romantic weekend. We fell in love. We hung out for 4 days straight. I didn't sleep with him. And then he had to go to a college in Iowa. I was in Kansas and he had to fly home to New York the next day. And I convinced him, I said, if you change your flight and or if you drive back tonight after the college instead of tomorrow morning when, to get your flight, if you come visit me in Lawrence, I'll have sex with you. So he drove through the night. We met in the rain. We had sex. I had my first orgasm. I was so deeply in love with this guy. And we were both so emotional that I was like, I want to play you a song. And I played him this song. And I remember holding each other's faces, like staring into it and like crying because we were so in love and we had to say goodbye. And he was going to have to go break up with his girlfriend to like be with me forever, which he never did. And then I didn't talk to him for 10 years because I was so sad. And then 10 years later, we're really best friends. And his special's coming out and I'm doing an interview with him on Vulture coming up. And if you want to hear the whole Pete Lee story, if you haven't heard it, it's on our YouTube. You can just type in Nikki Glaser and Pete Lee, and it's on our You Up, my old radio show. We did a whole, we covered it all. It's an epic tale.
Now, when you play a song and,
I played it for him, yeah, and it was like, this is the first day of my life. And then I was so heartbroken. So we both like shared, it was a great moment.
Did you listen to the whole song?
Yeah, we listened to the whole thing and I was like, this just makes me think of you. I've been listening to it ever since you left for that college gig. You drove back in the middle of the night. Remember the time you drove all night just to meet me in the morning? I stood out in the rain. Suddenly everything changed. There's spreading blankets on the beach. Yours was the first face that I saw. I mean, it's such a good song. But it was such, it was one of my favorite songs up to that point. And finally I had someone to put it on and I was like, share it with. And it was such a beautiful moment. And then he went back to New York, never broke up with his girlfriend. I hated him with the passion of a thousand suns. And then that song, every time it came on, I was so embarrassed that I had given him that and shared that moment with someone who could not love me and do what he and not, that it was like I couldn't listen to that song for 12 years. And it would make me cringe so much because I've never been so vulnerable to like share a love song and look deeply into someone's eyes.
It's tough. Especially,
voice memo. Let's get to it. This is from?
This voice message is from Marnie.
Marnie.
Hey, Nikki and Andrew. My name is Marnie. I love your podcast. I've been listening for a very long time. I think I've listened to all of your U-ups.
Whoa.
And I even listened to Puddles. I wanted to know or see if you guys could help me think of a word for something. I want to invent a word for the feeling of anxiety, but it has to be like a noun and you have to say the before it. So like if you are scared, you get the heebie-jeebies.
Oh,
that's like a symptom of being scared. Or another one would be if you are, like if you're horny and you're a woman, you get the vapors.
Oh yeah, like the vapors.
You can get the willies if you're grossed out.
Oh, that gives me the willies.
You can get the what?
Oh, that's good, Marnie.
If you have anxiety.
Whoa.
Yeah, I need a word. Thanks, guys. I love you.
Okay, anxiety. I get the. What do you want to do when you have anxiety? You wanna go under the covers. You wanna like be. You wanna. You get the. Like the thing about an anxious moment, what was the last anxious moment you had where you really felt anxious? You're like 3 minutes ago when you wouldn't stop talking.
I had the scary wearies or the wary scary, like something that rhymes is fun.
It's
I kind of like
scare. I don't want to do scare because that's because
that's another thing. Shit, it's hard. I mean, it really
well,
what
Marnie,
are you thinking?
I like Marnie's name because when my sister and I went on a family ski trip in like Colorado when we were young, we stayed at a condo and the real estate agent was named Marnie Schloppy and we just couldn't believe that someone's name
was Marnie. What about the Schloppies?
And I was thinking the Schloppies.
I love it.
Because Schloppy, Marnie Schloppy.
Also, it makes you
Google
laugh.
It and see if that
and that's all you want when you have anxiety. You
Marnie just... Schloppy, because Marnie is the one that posed this question, we're calling, and Marnie Schloppy is a realtor in Colorado, or maybe Utah. I think it might have been Park City, Utah, or Colorado, Vail. Marnie Schloppy was the realtor. So we're calling when you feel anxiety. You're about to send a text to someone. So the dots are coming up on a text. You have to, you got an email from your boss that you're opening. Oh, I've got the schloppies.
I love it.
Thank
the
you,
schloppies.
Marnie. And I hope you are Marnie Schloppy, although you sound too young to be a woman that was selling.
How do you spell schloppy?
It was like S-C-H-L-O-P-Y.
Dude,
Marnie Schloppy.
Isn't how did that work so perfect? Because I don't know why.
Schloppies.
I've never even heard that word before.
Well, it's a last name, and I know I've never heard it either. But isn't Marnie Schloppy such a funny name?
And it sounds like what's it when you have like a bad car? It's like a jalopy.
Jalopy. Yeah, the Marnie Schloppies. Yeah. So if you get nervous, we're gonna use that now. Thank you, Marnie. I love that. I love coming up with
that
new
was
words.
Great.
That was so. I have no
schloppies here. Schloppy Joe.
And now here's another voice memo from
Schloppy John.
Okay. Yeah. Speaking of coming up with words, here's one from John.
What?
Hey Noah, Andrew, and Nikki,
whoa.
Or No Jerky, as my friend and I call
oh,
him.
Oh, my God.
Both besties listening since you up. I just had a potential cuh moment I wanted to run by you guys.
I love
I'm not even
guys.
Sure if it is a cuh.
Sounds like a scientist.
Not, but it happened to me twice on the same camping trip, and I'm curious. So, you know when you're talking about some maybe weird or obscure topic, and a third person walks in, and then they're like, oh, this is a weird moment for me to walk into this conversation.
Oh, so good.
Something along those lines, some variation of that.
Yes.
And then everyone gives a laugh, and it's like everyone just has to kind of like sit in that moment for a while.
God, John.
I don't know. It's happened to me like 7,000 times, and
you get the schloppies.
I just feel like as a society, we can
fuck those people.
Stop it. Yes, John. Yes.
I love.
First of all, John. Nodruki is so funny. Noah, Andrew, Nikki at the end. Nodruki is so good. Thank you so much, John.
He hit a point that I don't know why that hit me so hard. Because,
oh my God, I love
it. Because how many times do you have like a weird conversation? And it's the best conversation. No one wants to talk about boring shit. And then a boring person
this
comes up.
To me constantly. When someone goes awkward.
Awkward.
Okay, you know what? Just everyone, let's get on the same page that we like to talk about real shit. Real conversations are so much more interesting than talking about vapid, shallow stuff, about the weather, about just like what you're going to wear to a thing. Like those conversations can still happen. But if someone's in the middle of revealing something about themselves and it makes you uncomfortable, just shut up. Like just try to realize that that's you. And that's not them. And honestly, these are just people that are just trying to handle a situation that makes them feel a little bit sloppy inside, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure they got some slops.
They're walking into something where a guy's like, and then my mom was just like an alcoholic and they go, okay, wow, should I not join? actually, no, you shouldn't, because you just put us like a hiccup in here and now we have to like put a bookmark in the story and like address that you're uncomfortable and make you feel safe. Yeah.
And then you got to start the story. It's like, oh, do I have to start the story for you at the top? Do you,
well,
know what I mean?
I am such an oversharer and someone who has these conversations with legit people I meet in the elevator where I reveal too much. And, you know, there's something about oversharing that I'm trying to pull back. And I've been actually really good about keeping some things in my life private that I'm dying to share with someone. There's something going on right now with me that I haven't told literally a single soul in my life that I have to very soon just for safety precautions. So I'm going to bring Andrew into it, or maybe Noah, maybe both of you.
How about the Drukies?
Yeah, I'll bring
or
you both in.
No,
but
Drew.
I'll bring in my fans when I'm ready to talk about it. It's nothing. I'm not
dying.
I'm
sorry if it's bad.
But we're all dying. No, it's good. But it's just like something that I, there's things that I learned, like I need to keep this private because I'm a 37-year-old woman and not everything. And I would keep it private. Listen, I'm not saying it on the radio show because I'm not saying it to anyone, you know, but I have this happen to me all the time where I am talking about something that's like people sometimes tell me about their incest or that they were molested within minutes of meeting me and I haven't asked them about it. I just make people feel comfortable enough that they know I'm not going to judge them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is that I do. And sometimes I make people feel very uncomfortable. This doesn't happen all the time, but I will say that people oftentimes reveal things to me and they'll say, I don't know why I just told you that. I just met you. You have that happen to you too, right?
Yeah, ever since I was young. I don't know what it is.
Because you're not judgmental.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like, if you project an air of like, no matter what you tell me, I will accept you and I will not be cruel to you about it, which I have not created that air with you because you have to walk on eggshells with me because sometimes I will take something you say and like not handle it that way. But if you were just a stranger, I do accept you for you, but I'm not good about it all the time with you. And I know that. But I think for it's weird that I can't have that same thing with my best friend, mm-hmm. like where I don't have all this judgment. But with strangers, I just...
Because I feel like we're so connected.
That I just think it's judgment, your fault that you were molested. I'm just kidding.
No, but like the judgment of me is the judgment on... You know how you're hard on yourself? You're very hard on yourself.
Yeah.
So I think you're hard on me because I'm almost like... part of you in a way because we're so connected. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, like every time that I say anything mean to you or make you feel less than, it is 100%, no exception, always about me.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like,
right.
So it's not even about me.
So it's almost,
I've kind of learned that where it's like,
but do you think I've gotten better about it? Because I have accepted myself more. And so by that, I think that it probably I've accepted you more.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean definitely.
The pistachio incident, the Celsius drinks incident, I was able to get on top of that within 20 minutes
mm-hmm.
as opposed to a day. But it's I would like to get out of it so like it doesn't even happen.
Early in the morning, I'm just like, the other day with, I don't want to bring it up. It's so stupid.
I mean, you have to now.
Oh, it's so dumb.
I'll know exactly what you're talking about as soon as you say the first word. I'm guessing it was...
But you caught yourself, so I don't care. I didn't care.
Okay, when was it? Tell me. I want
the dryer. You go, and I think it's like, I think your dad did this to you or something. Like, because you're very easygoing about 95% of things.
I think from the top to the bottom, I handle that well. I go, hey, Andrew, just so you know, because I put my clothes in the dryer, Noah, okay? And I always clean out the thing.
Do you always do it?
Before I put mine in, right? So this is where we got caught up. So when I take my dryer clothes out, I don't clean the dryer lint sheet, right? But when I put dryer clothes in, I clean it out. So I see it and it is really, really, it's like a huge sheet, very thick. And I thought Andrew had done at least two loads of laundry the day before. He had only done one. Okay, that's important to know. So I go, hey, Andrew, just so you know.
And you've done multiple at this point.
No, I was
before
just
that.
Yeah, but I always clean it out before I put it in the dryer. It's just like a habit,
yes.
You know, because I know that when you don't clean it out, your clothes don't dry as well. So I just was trying to tell you, like, when you're doing two loads, you definitely want to clean out the first one before you put in the second one. So, but I wasn't mad that I was cleaning it out and it wasn't cleaned out yet because I don't clean mine out when I get my stuff out. So, but I was just saying it was so big that I thought you had done multiple loads with it building up. And that's why I was letting you know, like, in between, you got to clean it.
Yes.
And then he goes, oh yeah. He said something about doing one load. I go, oh, that was from one load. Never mind then, because that you were fine yes. to leave it.
But it's been brought up in the past. There's just like, it's just interesting to me because there's only like a couple things that you ever like recycling and the dryer load. Like you don't really pick apart things.
I just want your clothes to be dry faster. And it's just a thing that you didn't know because you never did your laundry.
I know. But for me, I get, And I really do like I try to like breathe because like for me I get like upset sometimes because I go, well, she left her clothes in the dryer and washer when she left for a week and like
yeah.
multiple times.
But you can
and
call me out on that.
I know
instead
and
of
I,
just
but, no, but I'm mad
using
at,
it against
I know,
me later.
I know. I'm mad at myself for not calling out certain
yeah.
things that might irritate me and then get irritated when you call me on things
then,
that aren't even that big. I shouldn't even get offended by these things either.
No, and I was so just
I'm
saying
not,
it because
I'm not
I literally, because
yeah.
I thought you didn't know about the dryer sheet thing because it took me a while.
Yeah,
to
I don't really
too.
Know. I don't really know about it either.
You
I
didn't
really,
know about how to make coffee and how much water goes in with a scoop. Like you literally.
Yeah,
had
no, there
no
are
clue.
Things. Yeah.
And there are things that are just like, you haven't done them before. And so
because my
let
mom
you know.
Never called me out for these things when
me
I was
neither.
Growing up.
I'm learning them too. And
but
I think
did your dad call you? I feel like your dad must
no.
have called you out for things.
No,
no,
not for that. For turning off lights.
Okay.
For taking long showers, for using too much water, for wasting energy.
So he called you out on things like my dad.
Oh yeah.
My dad ignored everything
oh.
to the point where like, I would never know, you know, because my dad was dirty unless my, that's why he married my stepmom, because like my dad was a mess.
Mm-hmm.
He had, you know, one pizza box in the fridge, one half a Diet Coke.
Like, he's you.
He's me in a lot of ways. Yeah. And so he never pointed out like, hey, take the garbage out. Hey, did, so then
so
I
So you're
think
learning these things.
I'm learning like at 41 years old.
I get it. I'm
so when I hear it
too.
From you as you know, as a friend, as a contemporary, I think I just like, why someone told me what to, you know, you yeah. get that kind of ego.
I get that.
And it has nothing, and I swear, like,
but I can be so messy and leave dishes in the sink and like stuff out, and like sometimes I look in the living room and I'm like, it's so messy, and I go, literally everything out here is a thing of mine. Nothing from Andrew's room is out and about. I just leave shit everywhere, and I'm like, I wonder if this annoys Andrew, and I hope that he would say something if it did. It would not offend me if you were like, hey, do you mind putting your stuff yeah. away in your room? Like,
yeah.
honestly, it would hurt for a second because I'd be embarrassed that I'm messy, but then I would go, you're right. So there are sometimes I catch it and I go, I'm sure he was annoyed at this and didn't say anything. And I just want to give you, I truly am saying this, I want to give you license to call out little things that are like, hey, that bowl's been sitting there for a while. I don't feel like cleaning out. Can you do that? Like, that would not bother me,
but for me
in the long run.
But for me, and I think a lot of pride couples deal with it when they live together, or just roommates, I mm-hmm. guess. But it's like, when do you call out someone? Even
when it
if,
starts to, when it bugs you the first time. The first time.
Interesting.
The first time.
I would think maybe like the 10th time.
No, because by then it is
then
turned
it'll
into
build
a,
up too
a
much.
Resentment.
Interesting.
Yeah. And or guess what? The 9th time. Because you're waiting for the 10th.
Yeah.
I come out and I say, Andrew, this thing, I complain about a thing that I'm realizing for the first time.
Yeah.
And then the 9 times are so much more than this one thing that Nikki called up for the first time I did it. But she's done it 9 times and I wasn't going to say something until the 10th.
Yeah.
And then it explodes.
So true.
It's so hard in the moment to do, and we're getting better at it every day.
But oh, yeah.
I think that's,
and
it's
yes.
always good to have these conversations, especially at the end of the week. What a strong end.
It's been a great week.
We're stronger than ever. Noah, thank you so much for this week of shows. Besties, I am so in love with you, and the messages we got, and the fact that you listened to our show.
Awesome.
You're the fucking best, dude. And it's like, I'm very grateful for you. I cannot wait to see you in Cancun if you can afford it. Also, my tour dates, I added Waterloo, New York, another show in San Antonio. I think, what were the other dates? Napa. And then there's one other one that I'm excited about. San Diego. Yes, San Diego. So all the tour dates are up at NikkiGlaser.com/tour. It is going to be so much fun. I'm going to do so many weird things. You're going to walk away from the show being like, what did I just see? Like in a good way. And it's going to be catered to you, besties, because I love you most of all. Thank you for being my fan. And spread the word about F-Boy Island. Get excited about it. And yeah, this weekend we're going to watch more Friends. We're going to watch more Morning Show. We're going to watch more Bachelorette on Monday. And I hope you'll be there with us for all of it.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. I appreciate you guys.
And listen to Puddles, even.
That was amazing.
All right, guys. I hope you don't feel sloppy this weekend. All the swells.
The sloppies.
And yeah, don't get the sloppies. All the swells. Signing off.
Yeah, cool.
Signing off. It's no Drewkey.
Drewkey.
Yeah.